it's a bedtime bill. Every time I get started, I'm making love. Believe you can tell what I was thinking of. I heard him wiggle and a clear.
Бош
привіт.
Приходь до нас. Я Common Voices.
Pull up in a monster automobile gangster with a bad bitch that came from Sri Lanka. Yeah, I'm in a tonka, color of Willy Wonka. You can never beat the butt of you. First thing first, I eat your brain. Then I'ma start rocking gold teeth and fangs.
Girl.
Cause that's what the motherfucking monster do. Mm-hmm. Dress up a melon, that's a monster do.
Come
monster
on.
Just up a heel, that's a monster coup. Young money is a monster and a monster coup.
Come
and
on.
I'm all up in a bang with a funny face. And ain't no fake, and I know this cause I'm money eight. Let me get this right. Wait, I'm the but my features and my shows 10 times you pay. 51st, 21st, no album. Yeah, my money's so tall that my Bobby's gonna climb it. Other than the middle distance, climb it. 20 months around, dirty wine it.
Come on.
Make you all them titties when I sign it.
Are we live? Hi, my name is Doreen, and I'm here with.
I'm Jay.
Cool. Today we're gonna be talking about a very interesting topic, and we're live at the Common Voices Studio. I'm very excited for this topic, and I think that by the end of this show you will be as excited as we are. So let's get into it. Who are we and why are we here?
Well, I work here. But also the subject that you brought in today was something that I'm genuinely interested in to yap about. So that's why I'm here. Why are you here?
If you know us, you know we love a good yap.
We do.
Okay, so I'm here because I think that this topic is very important, and I thought who best to talk about it than someone who comes from the complete opposite side of the world as to where I come from. For context, I'm from Nigeria. I was born and raised there. And I thought that it would be very interesting to sit and talk to somebody who was raised in the Middle East or from any other part of the world. And we talk about just how much the patriarchy has affected women and the upbringing and how it shapes our lives across different cultures. What do you think, Jay?
Exactly, like there's different aspects of the same system, but like living it in different sides of the world, which is like still the same thing. But I'm also excited to find out what are the similarities and what are the differences.
Yeah, I'm really excited because growing up, all you ever know is your immediate environment. Like the world for you is just home, school, and whatever like immediate environment you have. And then you get to travel and you see that, okay, the world is so much bigger. I'm very curious to know how patriarchy affects us in that way. Anyways, why does this conversation matter to you, especially like why are you here?
As women, I feel like we're just somehow differently affected by the patriarchal system that we live in today and yesterday and probably also tomorrow.
Girl.
I swear to God, like, okay, that's such a thing, like, such a statement to say smash patriarchy, but how even do that? Like, how are we gonna smash that? Girl. Like, that is so hard to smash.
I used to be like, oh, you know what, we're gonna do it, like, maybe for the next generation, the patriarchy wouldn't be like a strong girl. I lose faith each day because it ain't going nowhere.
It is nowhere.
Here to stay, bro. Like, patriarchy is going to rule us all. And I think the major reason why is because patriarchy has recruited women to enforce its laws. So women enforce the laws of patriarchy, and that's why it's going to continue generation after generation. But how was it like for you growing up? Give us context.
Well, I think there's moments where I wasn't aware of myself as a girl. I was having a really lovely childhood,
mm-hmm.
and like not being fully aware that I might be different from the people that I play with in the playground.
Yeah.
And then
it just hit me all of a sudden. When you go to school in the first grade in Iran, you are forced to cover your head with scarf, with hijab. Yeah, so that was the moment. Yeah,
I thought it was like an option, like, you know.
No, it's never an option. It's always forced. yeah, so like first class was like, I was so excited to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and I come from one of the hottest cities in the Middle East.
What's it called?
Ahvaz is in South Iran. And so to be forced to wear a scarf on your first day of school in like 45 degrees weather outside.
Not nice.
It's just death and hell. Yeah. And then to realize, oh, fuck, but my cousin is not having that. And he's going to school for the first day too. And he doesn't have to cover himself. And these were like the first moments that I started to realize on my own that, oh, there's a difference. How about you?
Yeah, for me, I feel like I grew up doing pretty much everything my cousins did, because I grew up with mainly like my cousins, my male cousins. So we would do everything together, but eventually the older we got, my grandma would be like, well, don't do that. Don't you know you are like a girl? And for the first time, I'm like, no, I don't know. What does that have to do with what does that have to do with anything? And it was always frustrating, but I tried to like bottle up my frustration. They would tell me to sit a certain way. You know, you don't sit with your legs open because, you know, even up to now, my mom is like, after all the years I spent into grooming you, you still sit like a man. I'm like, girl, I don't give this. I don't care. But yeah, it's these moments when I was growing up that made me really, really think about how different society was trying to raise me. And I was so angry. I've been angry most of my life.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's not fair. You know? Yeah.
That is such a... Oh my God. I've been angry since my childhood and I stood angry and I'm just angry. The angry woman is a whole phenomenon thing like, on its own. But then like being a person of color, a woman of color is just girl. So... Oh my God. Yeah, I know I'm a woman of color who's always mad, okay?
Yeah, but they make it sound like it's something that you do because it's like out of context. Like you're angry for nothing. Hmm. But no, these women have experiences. These women have entire childhoods that have been ripped away from them. They are angry for a good cause. They didn't just wake up one day, you know what? What am I going to do with my life? I'm going to be a angry person. Nobody chooses that. Girl, be for real. But yeah, I just wanted to ask though, what does like being a good girl, what did it mean for you personally? I hate the title good girl, by the way.
Oh my God. Let's go like way back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being like in the second grade or something, and I had this neighbor, and so like Iran in that time, like we're talking early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
was already feeling very much opener than in the beginning of the Islamic Revolution. But then something just kicked in, and I don't know what the fuck went wrong with our neighborhood, but everybody all of a sudden became super religious.
Wow.
And so, yeah, the picture of good girl was, oh my God, it was so connected to religion and how religious girl is like the perfect girl. And so we had this neighbor, and she would like cover up all the time. She would never curse. She would never want to come outside to play. Unlike me, who was like always in the dirt with a basketball. And I was a fat kid with a basketball and chocolate stains all over my mouth. So I was like quite the opposite. And I couldn't even sit like a girl because I was fucking chunky, okay? I couldn't close my legs.
Oh, girl.
God damn it. So yeah, I became this target for also like the... you know, neighborhood ladies to just like gather around and be like, yeah, so like this daughter is like such a good girl and this one is just so
you became like the
space poster
kid for like what not to be, girl.
Exactly.
So
like,
proud of
exactly.
You.
People be like, see that?
That's
you
what
don't
you
want
yeah.
to be that. Yeah, exactly. That's
never.
What you shouldn't be.
For
yeah.
Jay, it's a no. That's interesting though.
Yeah, how
because,
about you?
I mean, for me, I think that also a very religious society. I have nothing against it. I think everybody gets to decide their own like faith and stuff, and I really like that. I like that I got to choose eventually what I wanted. But growing up, it was so hard because the good girls were, I think it was just translation for humble, obedient, no opinions, you swallow everything. It's like you go from good girl to good wife to good mother, and all of that just means you take it all in. yeah. and you never like you never explode. It was so irritating for me because, like I said before, I had so many cousins mm-hmm. and I wanted to do what my cousins did, but I was never like given that chance. And I was also like a pretty smart kid growing up, and so I would question a lot. But they'll tell me, you know, girls don't ask fancy questions. They made it seem like you had to shrink yourself to be loved or accepted. But I think the one time that it really, really stood out for me, or I think the first time I started questioning, was surprisingly enough, not when I was a kid. I was like a teenager. I started reading some books from foreign authors and stuff like that. And in the Nigerian school system, we have something called like a prefectship. The highest class of high school, you then get like some positions, you know, social prefect, health prefect. Because I was like in the science track, I was given health prefect. Basically what that meant was I was in charge of taking care of the sick people along with like the nurses in the hospital, in the school sick bay. It was the only position then that a girl was heading and that was assisted by a boy. Basically all the other positions like punctuality prefect, assembly prefect, we had to take care of everything. They literally just gave us the entire like administrative work of the school. And usually the order of things is that the boy heads, like a boy is the head of the thing and the girl is the assistant. But I was really, really good. I became the head and I had like my friend become my assistant. Everybody was questioning that. Like, it was the most unnatural thing in the world. Some people even said I should have allowed my friend, who was least qualified, by the way, to be the head just because, so that I don't emasculate him. I'm like, would you get out of here, bro? But that was when it really like got to me that in life, going forward, growing up, people are going to expect me to be less, to shrink, you know, because it's what you're supposed to do as a girl. Don't be too loud. I was a loud kid. Mm-hmm. I was so loud. Girl, I don't know if you guys had the thing in Iran where they would flog you. Do you guys have like physical punishment in your school?
Girl, I mean, not officially, but like unofficially stuff just slipped, you know, like.
Oh, girl, officially, unofficially, they'd be beating our asses. Mm. We're talking long canes in class. So what was really funny about that is they would tell you, you cannot make noise in class. Your teacher will be like, I'm on a rest. I've had such a long day. Work hours, by the way. And he's going to be like sleeping in class. And he's going to say, you, take down the name of anybody who makes a peep. Because if the class gets noisy, then the principal comes and be like, why are you not teaching? Yeah. So you really have to cover your act. And so, oh my God. And so he's like, if anybody makes one squeak, write their name. My name used to go on that list like 20 times. Because I literally could not keep short.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, you're so smart. If only you would behave like a girl and just be quiet like all the girls. It would frustrate me to no end. So yeah, now I'm embracing my loudness again.
Yeah, it takes time though. I mean, same. The thing is, above that, I was also an ADHD kid.
Girl, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started, bro.
And so every single sound that I ever heard in my entire life was being played in my head, and then I would echo it through my mouth in the classroom. So eventually, my teachers got so mad that they kicked me out, and they called my parents to pick me up one day, and one of our teachers was literally crying, like, why can't this girl just, like, behave like one? And so my mom arrived one day to pick me up because of the frustration of the teacher, and the teacher was like explaining to her that what happens and like what kind of sounds I do, which was at that time it was the frog.
Girl.
It was the chip chip of the chicken. It was the emergency thing car, like the ambulance.
Oh.
And so all of the sounds were like coming from this little fat kid sitting way back in the class. They got so frustrated and they kicked me out eventually. And then my mom come, and I remember other moms, how they defended their kids sometimes. And my mom just legit came in and was like, she apologized for the weirdo that is her daughter. And like took me home, and I had to, the ass whooping. Oh my God. And so that had to teach me like to become less, to be silent, yeah. to be not expressing anything. Okay, I was probably expressing too much, but it doesn't help to like
shrink,
don't have nobody that is like also not on your side. So
yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's something that I never understand, like how come that we can reflect on what's been happening to us, what we are experiencing as a woman, but then our moms were just like so nonchalant about everything.
You know, the older I get now as a woman, the more I look at my mom and other women who have been like molded by the system, and I realize that I think they also fought.
Yeah.
I think they fought in their own way, but they got tired quickly because it felt like at that time for them that they were fighting alone. Now in our generation, I'm talking about it, you're talking about it, everybody's talking about it. It feels like you have a voice. Imagine you with all your friends and you're saying, you know what, I don't want to get married, I don't want to have kids. Then, in like, come on, you feel very, very isolated. It's why, like, peer pressure is a thing, bro. Peer pressure is a thing.
Yeah.
And we take it for granted. So I feel like they did fight. They just got tired really quickly because I think most of these women were girls with dreams, girls with ambition. I also think that some of these girls should never have had kids. Like, if I could go back, I'm like, girl, you have your whole career ahead of you. Don't have kids.
Yeah.
But they did because they thought they had to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they had no empathy for us as the kids that they got, because they're like, if you don't shut up, I sacrificed my entire life for you.
Right.
And you here having ADHD in your class, shut up.
For this? Did I just sacrifice my career for this? And like, oh my God, so true. Because my mom told me once that you weren't around when I was fighting. So shut the fuck up. When I was like rebellious, and she was like, shut the fuck up. You weren't around when we were fighting.
We've been there. We've done that. Yeah. I think that their resistance paved way for us. They walked so we could run. But again, they could have done more, as with every other generation out there. So it's incredibly sad when I think about these women, but grateful for, because if some of them didn't write the books that they did, they didn't say the things that they did, patriarchy and feminism as it is right now would not exist. So in a way, I'm grateful for it. Anyways, I was going to ask you though, how do you think this shaped your like entire personality? Because I think it killed me from the inside out. But I'll let you go first.
How did it shape my entire... I feel like my entire personality is shaped because of the trauma that I lived growing up.
Trauma.
Yes, like as a girl growing up in a Islamic society, which is like so much deep in the sauce and juice of patriarchy.
We're just deep
so
in there.
Deep in it. Yeah. And so every aspect of my life was affected by that. Everything that I did, from my vocal stems, from my tics that I had, to the hobbies that I got to choose, to the way that I had to dress, the way I should have moved. So it really leaves a stain on your ass forever. So,
it never goes away.
Somehow I feel like I'm in this constant fight mode just because of...
survival.
Exactly. Like, sometimes I just have to remind myself, it's okay, it's fine, chill now.
Like, you're good.
You're okay now. But then I'm like, no, wait, there's this and that still, like... chill. Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, we're gonna get into that. We're talking about like body standards and like what is considered like beautiful in a patriarchal society and the difference. But I think that because of the way I grew up in Nigeria, I hated my body.
Mm-hmm.
I hated being in my own skin. Like, I just wanted to be normal. Why wasn't I normal? And who was defining what normal was? Because I didn't ask for this. Come on, girl. Like, I hated my voice because apparently it was too manly.
Mm.
I hated everything. It just makes me sad when I think about all the shrinking I had to do. And now as an adult, learning to like unshrink yourself, it's incredibly hard because you don't even know what is truly you and what's trauma. Like, do I really like this? Do I like baggy clothes because I really like them? Or I grew to like them because it covered me up and I just believe that I like them. Do I say sorry because I'm really sorry? Or I learned to say sorry because you had to be apologetic.
Mm.
You had to be woman material. Girl, I was so stupid. And you know, the thing is that the conditioning happens from when you're so young, you don't realize that you're being conditioned into like a patriarchal system. Because by the time you get to like 13 in Nigeria, you're already thinking of, okay, like which man? Like, girl, like I just want to be wife's up, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we can really go in depth in it just because I feel like we've not really talked. We've been like here 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get to 1 hour.
We're trying to get leap here.
So yeah, I was saying that just growing up in Nigeria, it was incredibly difficult for me to feel like I was accepted just because, first of all, my body, we really are into curvaceous women.
Mm.
So you really have to be like really curvy,
mm.
a certain level of fertility, because for you as a woman, your entire life revolved around what you could produce.
Mm.
So that part was really irritating to me. How was it like for you? Like the beauty standard, especially, how is it like in the Middle East? I have one little question before that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's my brain. It works like that. I heard that before in Iran, you guys weren't like really like hijabi. And how was that like? Because I saw some pictures and it looked really, really cool. What happened, guys?
So before the Islamic Republic, the beauty standards were quite similar to Western communities, societies, because Hollywood was just watched everywhere and magazines were like the shit. And my mom used to tell us stories that like how her mom would dress up and how she would wear mini skirts and like long boots and everything. And I'm just like, that is how you got to grow up.
She sounded like badass. She
sounded badass. That was, and then I got to see these pictures of my grandma and my mom, the way she went to school, they had like this super cute short little uniforms.
Oh, how cute.
And they just looked so cute and they had to wear their hair always down, always polished and everything, which is also like forced.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, it's not fair to like compare it with the forced uniforms that we had to wear, which is like everything is just covered up. And it's just not pretty, not cute for a little girl going to school being looking like, you know, in abaya or something like that, but in pink, you know, make it fun.
Oh, it was pink?
So it was pink,
Your suffering was pink.
It was pink, yeah, the abaya was fucking pink.
Girl.
So yeah, that just, so the through the hijab, through the scarf, and that is something that all Middle Eastern societies have in common, we got to go crazy about our noses. So I don't know any Iranian girl, any, I think I'm literally the only one that didn't operate the nose. Like, all of my friends...
Are we talking, like, nose jobs?
Yeah, yeah.
Actual ones?
Actual ones. All of my friends, every single person I went to school with, every teacher that I had, my aunts, my neighbors, literally every female friend of mine, all of them have operated nose.
But
because
why?
It's just so much in the center. So if your head is covered, you want to be perfect in the face to don't have any flaws and everything.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, when they take away your freedom to express yourself through your clothing and hairstyles, you're gonna find something to like make sure you are unique. Either it's the nose shape, now it's everything. Everything is now operated. Like, it's the lips, it's the cheeks, it's the facelift, everything. Like, full program. And it's so normal. Like, when I look at it from this Western place that I live in now, and I look at it and I'll be, like, telling my friends, like, you guys, this is insane. Like, all of you have Botox since I left the country. Like, and that is nothing. That's just so normal. And so, the beauty standards are just got worse and worse. The more power, the more control the menses had over female bodies in Iran.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to skip that quite quick before I turned like 18 and I was allowed to have my nose job. But I remember that it was in the talks. Like, I was actually working on my dad's brain that like he will be okay with it once I turn 18.
So
I get nose job, and he was okay with it.
But girl, you have a perfect nose.
It doesn't matter. People just get it. You need to have that doll nose.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in shock. You know why I'm in shock? It's because I'm seeing that there is a stark contrast between what you guys categorize as important in Iran and what we categorize. Do you know the amount of women that go under the knife? But guess for what? Come on. Give me a guess.
For what?
For their butt. and their boobs. I'm telling you, if you grow up skinny in Nigeria, it is a nightmare.
Yeah, you gotta get that BBL.
Girl, I am not even playing. I couldn't go to school properly because we all had uniforms. And imagine me showing up in my uniform looking as flat. And there's a girl who looks naturally curvaceous. And other girls are like, well, if I turn this age, I'm going to go get that BBL because, you know, I can't just be like this. I'm like, even now, we're talking 2026, people still dream of getting their, like, butt done, their boobs done. And it got so bad to the extent where somebody needed to, like, somebody wrote a book about it. You know what the title of the book is?
No.
Only Big Bum Bum Matters.
Oh, wow.
Because it's only what matters.
Yeah.
Men like you better. And all of this eventually comes down to the fact that we need this validation from guess who? Men.
Mm.
We need to feel like we're appreciated and valued and seen. So it's really crazy. Maybe I would have gotten my body done sometime if I could afford it. But it's expensive, so...
It is, but somehow people make the money for it. If that is the only thing that could save you from the misery that you feel like mm-hmm. you're trapped in, people, a lot of people who are like so
poor,
literally bankrupt, they find the money to, they'd be like, I don't need my bread.
I'm good. I don't need to eat.
I don't I need just to need the eat. Bum. Exactly.
I need that bum.
The bum is should be there, yeah. Also, like, in Iran, it's also, like, the same, which is, like, throughout the years, the hijab got less and less and less because that's the, there's the rebellious spirit of Iranian woman just, like, fighting against it. And then eventually it became also, like, a very day-to-day thing to get BBL done.
Girl.
Which is like insane. You people are not even allowed to show skin. Like, why are you getting that? It's like, well, we show skin when we're not in the streets. We're always naked when we're like at gatherings and this and that. So it's fully normal to just like undergo surgery to look like this certain picture that people have in mind of the perfect woman.
I think it's crazy that they have like BBLs done in Iran just because like nobody really sees you that much and you're covered most of the time. Some people are covered and it's just their eyes showing.
I mean, we don't have that in Iran, though.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. What is that?
So, like, the burqa thing, I think in Saudi Arabia and also in Afghanistan is mandatory if women
also
are
Also in Nigeria,
like,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we don't have that, like, no. And the Iranian hijab is like a... Diaspora and Muslims, like, they make fun of it because... it's just a piece of clothing that we put like here to like say, hey, I have hijab, like leave me alone.
Oh, really?
But other than that, it's like we're just born out whores and we're not afraid to show it. Yeah,
I think I like that. I like when women like take up space. But for me, I think that I don't know if I mentioned, but Nigeria has like two distinct religions and it's cut the country in like half. So the north is strictly like Muslim-ish and the south is more like Christian-ish, and of course we have our traditional religions and there's so many I can't even get into that right now, so, so you can see really how girls from the north, even up until now, when we interact, I'm from the south by the way, when we interact you can see the stark contrast between us. And they're like, okay, I have two kids, I'm like 18 years old and all of that, and I'm like, yeah, I want to get a master's, girl. And they're like, but why? Because they're still really... I'm not saying they're backward. It's just religion and patriarchy, which is a societal construct, when they come together, it makes such a sweet collaboration that it keeps you in a chokehold for life.
And it's growing. And it's just... That terrifies me. I fucking hate social media for that because every time I open it, I'm just like so terrified. Oh my God, society, you're fucked.
And people keep saying that we're being like progressive. I don't think we're being progressive at all.
No, not at all.
I just want to chip this quick story in there. 3 weeks ago, I haven't put this up on my social media yet, but 3 weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a man. And he's... Girl. That is the appropriate response. We're in a classroom together, and there are some hijabis in my classroom. Like, there's me, which obviously I don't cover my hair because I'm not Muslim or whatever. And it was like, he doesn't like that in Germany, women get to expose their hair. Like, he doesn't really like that. He doesn't even like that women work. And I'm there, like, keeping my mouth shut because I'm trying. I'm like, Doreen, this is not your fight. This is not your fight. Doreen, mind your business. But he just kept going. He just kept going. And I'm like, okay, cool. So your wife doesn't work right now. He's like, no, why would she work? God forbid. I'm like, that is haram. That is so haram. I'm like, okay, cool. But you have a daughter. And it's like, if it was up to me, my daughter wouldn't go to school. Because why would she go to school? Like, I don't even know why women get high qualification. Just get like a ospidong or something, like a and job, and then go serve your husband. I was pissed off to my neck and above. It was so irritating because everybody keeps saying patriarchy doesn't exist anymore. Like, we're all chill now. Equality, it's a lie. It's a lie. They tell us not to talk about it. People still think like this. A lot of men still think like this.
Mm-hmm.
That women shouldn't achieve the highest level of education because eventually you're gonna just be a wife and a mother, and that their daughters shouldn't go to school. There is a trend in Nigeria where the fathers don't send their daughters to school, and we have like campaigns in Nigeria because please send your daughter to school. They believe that if they send their daughter to school, another man will marry them into their family and there will be a waste of money.
But then they're gonna be the men are gonna be the ones crying because there is no female doctor to send their wives to.
You know, girl, the hypocrisy, it kills me.
Yeah.
It kills me so much. Because if you need a female doctor, you need this person to go to school to be a doctor.
Exactly. And it's not just doctors. I mean, they cry that their woman also, like, went to get yogurt and the seller was a man. You know, like, if you don't want your woman in the society, then don't complain about your woman getting the milk from a man, you know?
I'm just scared because they're men and they're young men too. They're not like old men. Because you can say, you can say, oh, like these men are old. They're from the past. Nah, they're right. They're like Gen Zs, millennials, all that stuff. Yeah. And they still think like this. One time I posted a video on my social media where I was saying that men should not be applauded for doing the basic things in their household. Like taking care of your kids. Why would you say you babysat your kids, bro?
Hmm.
It's your kid. Are you dumb or what?
Right.
And on social media, people just applaud them. Oh my God, such a good father.
What a great girl, dad. Yeah.
So proud of you. My husband will never do that. Stop applauding basic nonsense. Mm. You guys are enabling this behavior. Anyways, I posted that video because I was very pissed. Some guy, a Muslim guy, comes in my comment section and is like, well, yeah, after saying all of this, when you get to 30, you don't see anybody to marry you. You're going to regret you said that. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that if nobody marries me, I will be sad and miserable.
Oh, God. I have for a husband.
And I was so upset because how are you young and thinking like this? I think it's an incel, but we're not going to get into that.
It's just growing. Like, it's them young people now taking... I feel like TikTok is sometimes so scary because on one side, it looks like this super liberated place of people just, like, interacting with each other. And doing little dance videos, and then on the other side,
it's
I'm just like,
crazy thing,
oh my
bro.
God, the boys though, like, what is happening?
It's all crazy thing.
They're just going backwards.
Yeah, and they want to frame it as progressiveness. They say, you can do what you like with your body, right? Or like, you can have a casual sex, for example. But if I choose not to have casual sex with you, then I'm being too hard.
No.
Right. Or if I tell you that I've had sex before, but I no longer want to have sex with you, then it's like, but why? Like, it's not like you're a virgin or anything. Like, shut up.
Ew.
Yeah, don't be disgusting.
It is still
One of my pet peeves now is educating boys. I hate that because how do you mean you're 20-something and I have to teach you basic things?
No, you gotta teach nobody nothing. Honestly, like, it's not our job to educate boys about anything. Like, no. That's like simple human behavior to like to have the willing to like gather the knowledge on simple stuff.
You would be surprised because for them, they just want to get money, right?
Hmm.
And just marry a woman because that's all. You need money.
Some money and grow.
Yeah, like money. That's all. Yeah. I just want money and then I'm going to get any girl anyways. So like, why bother? So you end up being dumb. Some of them are like babies. It's disgusting to me. But in the meantime, though, do you notice any other similarities between how boys and girls were raised, like, in Iran?
Oh, girl. Oh, my God.
We're going to get into it.
Oh, my God. So, like, my mom, like, the definition of feminism and the word, like, feminist, the first times that I heard them, it came from my mom, because she somehow, once I turned 9 or something, my mom became like super hardcore, radically feminist.
Real, I'm so proud of you, girl.
And so they would like tell us that, you see that? That is how boys are like treated, and this is not how you are treated. But I'm gonna have to go with the flow, otherwise they will finish me off too. And so it had no benefits whatsoever.
Just the information.
She just had the knowledge that, oh, I'm aware that people are being treated differently in this society. Not her, though. She didn't treat the kids differently. But I, like my brother, my parents never really said anything to him. But like it was other family members and friends of the family that would comment on my brother for being, supportive brother. He would take care of my little sister when she was a baby, and he did that with a lot of love and care. And so people would come together and be like commenting on him, like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with your daughter? First of all, your daughter is always in the street playing some balls with some, you know, and I would catch rats and whatever. And my brother would be the one, which is obvious because he was older than me. He was capable of taking care of another human being. And so he would be the one that like has an eye on my sister and would take her here and there and give her water and food and whatever. And people would be like, what's wrong with him? You people are treating him really shitty, because that's not going to be a man when he grows up, you know? It would be really weird because... that's so weird that he gets the hand of the little sister and takes her here and there, and where's the manhood?
I mean, I think it's really, really interesting how they think that once you do, like, I don't know how we put gender on some certain task. How did we get there? How did we put gender in some task? Because I didn't grow up like liking how to cook very much, right? So when people would say, like, cook something, I didn't like to do it very much. But if a guy does cook something, it's like, wow, master chef, you're so good at this. And like, girl, like, it's just cooking. It's basic human knowledge. Like, everybody should
know. It's just interests. Everybody has their own interests.
But then it's like, they make it seem like as a girl, you come, like, you're born with like a cookbook in the middle of your legs. Like, there's a book in there, like a menu where you just... You know, so what are we cooking today? I'm going to pop it up because, you know, it's like it doesn't work like that. Everything is learned.
Yeah.
Most women learn how to cook because their mothers. I hated whoever was going to be my future husband, because I would be like 8 or 9 years old and my grandma would be like, aren't you going to get up, learn how to sweep the house? Is this how you're going to do when you have a husband? Bro, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this nigga is. Like, why do I have to do this? I hated him so much. I'm like, if I ever meet him, I'm going to kick him in the balls. Because I went through a lot.
At least I imagined there would be some sort of husband. For me, it was like, you will never, ever find a husband. You will never get married.
That's my mom now.
It was just impossible for them to think that me not being able to ever cook. I've never witnessed my mom cook. I hated that. I hated standing in the kitchen just like looking, oh, that seems very interesting. I wonder what I will be doing in my future with that. Like, fuck off. I have more important stuff to learn.
Girl, and then they'll be like, you're always in your books. No man is gonna like that. For my family, they were like, you're intelligent. Now at least men value intelligent women. But outside that, you have nothing. They made sure to tell me that I had nothing else to offer except my brain. So if I came home with bad grades, it's like, you cannot cook. You cannot clean very well. If you don't have your brains, what do you have?
But I have my brain.
They're like, what? Then why did you come like second in class? Why did you come third? Why not first like before? Like, I don't know. This term was just a hard term. No. No excuses. So basically it's like, it's either you're extremely smart or, you know, you have to know how to cook and clean. My mom's friend once told me, when my mom was telling her, my daughter, all she does is read, she doesn't cook and she doesn't clean. My mom's friend said, let me tell you something, my dear. She looks at me, you know, that African auntie vibe. She wants to give you advice that will impact your life. She's like, my dear, let me tell you, the way to a man's heart is through his belly and what is in between your legs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you for that information. It's useless to me, but thanks. I would not be needing that. But basically, it's just you have two things to offer a man. That and that.
They would choke if they don't get to, you know, preach that, you know, with their deep preaching voice.
Yeah, like some, you know, those, like, I know what I'm saying carries wisdom, but it doesn't really carry wisdom. They're just like, this will change your life. Trust me,
you'll be saying anything, girl.
Trust me, my daughter. If you do this, every man will want you. I don't want every man to want me, bro.
Mm.
Like, it's kind of creepy. Why would everyone want me, though?
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, growing up now, this affected your interactions with men?
No, because it was just a side gig, I would say. Because, like how I said, like, my mom eventually became, like, super radical. And my mom is still very anti-marriage, anti-everything. And I grew up with my aunt and my grandma just, like, gathering and talking shit about the man. And women who would marry quite early, yeah, without having any license, without having education.
Yeah.
And so my family is like big on educated women. And so they would preach about, you know, yeah, like you gotta go to university. And when you're done your PhD, sometimes there is a little bit space left to think about marriage and building a family, which is like so not relevant. So I grew up with that kind of mindset. I remember when I'm 30 years old, and like 4 years ago was the first time ever that I introduced my parents to my boyfriend.
Cute.
And they were like, I swear to God, the faces were like, okay.
Disgusting, bro. What is this?
Well, that did not work. We preached her to, like, get her PhD first and build this crazy motherfucking career that they had in mind. And then it was kind of... Yeah, you can never satisfy people.
No,
you
never.
Can never satisfy the society, never satisfy the parents. Yeah, so no, it didn't really affect the way I would interact with men. However, the other members of our family and, like, friends and how... My dad's friends, like, especially treated me with boys somehow affected the way I would... My friendships, especially, like, it was always very easy to, like, have a flirtatious moment, have, you know,
yeah,
dating programs and just going on dates.
Yeah.
It was much easier than
no
to build a,
yeah,
build a relationship in a, you know, a friendship with a boy. Like, I never have that. And
why?
I think... The only boys that I can have a friendship with is gays. And
girl, you don't mean that.
I swear to God. Like, if it's rarely happened ever in my life that I had a friendship with a straight man, it doesn't happen.
Why? Because
happen.
They were, like, gonna get into
I
you?
Don't know. I've never knew the concept of it. Even, like, very early in life, like, the boys that I befriended, I realized later that they were gay. And there's just, I'm just for the gays and gays are for me. Like, there's just this love story
so,
that
so
we
you
have.
Are like a gay magnet.
I kind of am.
It's nice.
And I'm happy about it because I don't know how to behave around...
Straight men?
Straight men that are, I'm not fucking with. So, like, I don't know. I'd be weird. Like, what's up,
bro? Like, where do we begin?
What's up? Like, okay.
Yo, like, and then, you know, those weird signs that we don't
exactly.
Go. I'm like that, too. I think I'm very awkward with men only because I think men, the patriarchy really messed me up, man. It either that I feel like I was never enough for a guy that I liked. So I had to, like you're in a talking stage with a guy and they ask you, first question, hi, what's your name? So what do you like to cook? What made you think that I know how to cook?
Mm.
And initially I used to be like, yeah, just some food. Like, I'm not bad in the kitchen. I could throw it down. But now, at this age that I am, I tell everybody that I don't know how to cook. Do with it what you will. Because why are you asking me that kind of stupid question? What do you know how to cook, bro? And then he was like, oh my God, you're such a beautiful girl. What do you mean you don't know how to cook? My mom does the cooking. Wow. Your mom has a grown-up girl like you. And, like, she's cooking. I feel bad about that because in Africa, by now, I should be the one, like, busting it down in the kitchen. But my mom loves to cook.
Mm.
When I do it, she doesn't like it. I hate that I do it because I'm like, I'm doing this because I love you. And she's coming to say, you didn't do it well, so might as well just do it yourself, right? I feel like I no longer want to lie to men and tell them that, I, you know, I can bust it down in the kitchen. I don't want to lie. I don't know how to cook, bro. you are on board with that or not, get out or stay, it's your business.
Yeah.
You understand? And I think that I tried so hard also with my clothing.
Hmm.
I wanted my curves to show so bad. Hmm. Girl, I did crazy things with the outfit. My uniform, I would slim fit the
Oh my God, yes.
Girl.
Oh my God.
I would slim fit the shit out of that thing.
Yes. And it was so obvious.
That you, because it was hand sewn. It's hand sewn.
Yeah.
So I would like...
In the worst...
Zigzag
immature way. Oh, yes, girl. Oh my don't God, even same.
Get me, don't even get me started.
I used to get them fitted and like my parents would fight against me so bad because I was so embarrassed. First of all, it's done poorly. And it's just so obvious that it's done poorly. But I was like, I don't give a fuck.
I just want a bum to show, bro.
Exactly. Please. I just wanted the waist. I was like, man, I just want a waist.
Girl, like... I just want a bum to show. I'm not the guys. I was so like bro zoned by everybody, including guys I liked, that I would hang out with the boys and they would tell me girls that I had a crush on, but it was never me.
No.
It was never me. Why? Because I didn't fit the beauty standard of a healthy, African, curvaceous woman.
Hmm.
And that stereotype is still there till today in Nigeria. When they see me, they're like, when are you ever gonna like add some flesh? I don't know, my bum refused to come out, I'm sorry.
I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah, I'm still blooming, bro. So it affected me really, really. And I think now I'm just trying to unlearn a lot of things. I'm so scared because I'm afraid, I don't yet know which is me and which is, you know, something that I started to do because of the patriarchy. I don't know. If I really like baggy clothes or I just wear them, because if I'm wearing baggy clothes, you can't tell if I have a bum or not. Like, in the club, we're all fam. You know what I mean?
In the club, we all fam.
I cannot. So, like, I'm just a bro. And now my mom is like, you are like an adult person. Don't you want to try and do, like, makeup and attract people? Girl, I tried that. It didn't work. They would laugh at me. When guys see that you try too hard, they would laugh. But I'm trying just so you like me. And so I really need to let go of that, like, people-pleasing, the need to be accepted. Mm. Maybe I would never fit in my life. Not here, not in Germany, not back home in Nigeria, not anywhere. I really need to get okay with that.
Mm.
What do you think, for you, that would be, like, your lesson from patriarchy?
That is just never enough. Like,
girl,
it's never enough. The more you try to be fitted in the norms of whatever they want to be fitted in, it's just never enough. So never enough.
Never, never.
Never enough.
Never, never.
So it's never enough. So just like, give up, man. Just like be.
Give up.
Yeah.
When was your giving up moment, though? I had a give up moment.
Girl, I gave up.
I love your story so much because you can see from your story and mine that despite like the similarities of patriarchy, upbringing is similar but really, really quite different, because for you, you never had this moment where you're like, you know what, I don't need to please.
Hmm.
For me, it's really African women, we really feel this strong need. We're so polite, and which is why for Africans, the Germans are quite rude. But they're not rude. They're just honest. You know, they don't fake the niceties. They don't fake kindness. Like, if I don't want her, I don't want her. In Nigeria, that's not true.
Mm.
Like, you will smile at your enemy. You will do everything. You will smile. Sometimes in Nigeria, they make you smile at the guy who raped you. They make you come and make peace with the guy who violated you, bro. So it's like this fake niceties that we do, it's so disgusting. And I don't think patriarchy is good anywhere any soon, but I feel like for you and me, we have like some sort of responsibility. Not loudly, like you don't need to come on a podcast and be like, yo, let's all be feminist. Like, no.
Mm.
Just in the way that you act, in the way that I act, you can see that like, I'm not gonna do what you think I'm gonna do.
Mm.
I don't need to be loud about it. Before, I used to want to seek permission. Like, I'm gonna be a feminist now, or... Nah, I just exist.
Exactly, like to exist is the
resistance. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't get that before because I think I finally stopped caring. Not quite long, actually. 2021. 2021 was when I gave it all up. I no longer cared to be beautiful.
Mm.
I no longer cared to be sexy. I no longer cared to be admired by the opposite gender or the same gender. Like, I let it all go.
Mm.
And it was the most freeing moment of my life, but it was also like rock bottom for me, because without makeup, without like my hair, without the bloody skinny jeans, bro,
fuck them skinny jeans.
I hate skinny jeans.
Oh my god. Oh my God.
Don't get me started.
Don't even, like, no. That is like, I hate that they making a comeback, and I'm terrified because I'm a fashion girl and I love to experiment around.
You look really nice, by
the way. And the thought of skinny jeans to come back and I have to somehow integrate them in my outfits just to stay relevant.
You don't have to.
It kills me. Like, oh my God, I'm built like a potato man with legs.
Girl, no.
And
you look hot. She looks hot.
I'm like a potato. On like two toothpicks, you know.
That's not true. I don't see it.
So to have that comeback is just actually making me so emotional. I'm gonna cry because who the fuck invented that?
I don't know. You know, if we talk about the
that amount, is so inhuman.
The amount of things men have invented for women, it is so crazy. First of all, the biggest thing for me, I will forever bless who made baggy jeans. They saved my life. They saved my ass. They literally saved my butt.
Yeah.
God bless you if you're listening to this. Girl, like, thank you. But aside that, I think that all the inventions, if you really, like, study them, because I took a while to study them, if you really study all the inventions of, you know, men over the last couple decades, you would see how a lot of them is targeted towards, like, the beauty standard of women. For example, shaving. I don't know if you know, but shaving is like it was designed primarily for men in the first time, and then they needed to make more money, and they switched it to women, and they started telling, this was like really recently, like in the 90s, I think, early 90s, I don't know, a couple years ago, like a couple decades ago, and they switched it to women, and they said women that the air that you wear, that we used to accept before, is no longer acceptable. You know, like, now you have to shave and clean. And they bought it. Because women, the beauty industry preys on the insecurities of women.
Yeah.
It's why there is a beauty industry. It's the insecurities of women. And who funds these insecurities? The patriarchy, as always. So I feel like, what do you think about shaving, though?
Oh, my God. I feel like that is one of those few things that I just can't fight on my own. To be honest, it really has a huge effect on me, like living in Germany and being the Middle Eastern hairball that I am. Like, okay, I get to have full thick bras and full thick hair, which is pretty, but girl, it comes with the whole package. And so my skin is very much affected by the hours and years of shaving and different tools that you use and everything. So my skin is destroyed because of that. Like, any place that should be shaved, the skin is just fucked up because of that process. And then above that, we live in East Germany, and a lot of my friends are from East Germany, and we get to travel sometimes together. And I remember being on the naked beach.
Girl, that's a conversation for another day. Oh my God. That's a conversation for another day.
I know. And that was the moment where I was like, oh no, I grew up differently, because I couldn't even bear the thought that, okay, like, my friends have their body hairs, but it's totally something different. If I have it, it will look different. It's not going to be cutesy if you see some blonde hair here and then. Yeah,
they don't make it like, girl.
It's just not fair. And I'm like, if they didn't put us in this position that we had to shave all this time, I wouldn't be thinking about my friend's body hair looks different from mine.
Yeah.
Because, like, what the fuck did they do to me that I'm actually comparing the quality of our hair?
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell went wrong? It's like, yeah, it's
really crazy.
It just makes me the most insecure person when it comes to that. And I just can't fight it.
I think that with the old shaving thing, I grew up in Nigeria and we didn't used to shave legs. When I moved to Europe, I saw that people shave legs. The armpit alone, like, was already irritating for us. Like, for me personally, because there are bumps and there are a lot of other things. And then men just exist. I hate it so much. Like, I cannot tell you just how much I hate it.
Yeah, look at how smooth their skins be.
Because they just exist, bro. And they just go to the beach and take off their shirt and they look like wolves. But it's okay. It's supposed to be sexy, quote and unquote.
Ew.
But, like, girl, ew is the right word. But then for you, you're like, oh, you have to shave in between your legs, your pits, and everything, because you have to look I'm not going to get into the fact that they want to make us look like children, because only children don't have...
No, it is about that.
You are making us look like children, and we're no longer children. We're adult women, just the way you are adult men. But like, when I came here, I saw my friends, even like my African friends, they shaved their legs. I'm like, girl, what are you shaving your legs for? Can you explain
that? I don't want to be the weirdo that has hair all over their bodies. I mean, look at where we are. People don't naturally have... And it's so hard to... To exist as a woman of color right now, when that's like, I understand the shift, obviously, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like we need to get to a place where we do not prey on something as natural as body hair. I've had some men say, if you have body hair, you are unattractive, but you have a, like, you look like a wolf and you're judging someone else for having hair. It's because for you, the different standards, there's so many different standards for you. Like, you get to look like that. And just take me as I am, like, I'm a dude, like, just take me. But a woman can't exist like that because she's suddenly unhygienic. And I bet she's more hygienic than you could ever be, because you don't be baiting. You don't be baiting. But yeah, it's a conversation, I feel, the shaving one, that I really have to get into another day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you what you think womanhood is and what you think for you it is becoming, like, womanhood, being a woman. Moments of silence for the truth.
Moments of silence for these questions. Do I look like a fucking philosopher to you?
Girl, you dress like one. You look really, really good.
Today I'm giving you Freud.
True.
Womanhood, I think, is to fight. Like, the constant fighting against everything that is against us, but then also enjoy little things and little moments in life. That is so womanhood for me. Like, literally, when we watch Mamma Mia, I'm like, that's girlhood. Yeah. That is womanhood.
Yeah.
Because we get to enjoy little stuff because we're in this constant fighting mode. We get to have that. We get to have our little Princess Fiona versus the bird moment.
I love it so much when women just exist, or like when they wear pink and they really like it. I'm not going to get into the fact that they've made pink a woman's color, but that's another conversation for another day. I love so much when women exist. I think womanhood for me now would be a state of constantly becoming. Like, I just want you to continue to become. You went to grad school or didn't go to grad school, it doesn't define you. You had kids and you had a divorce, it doesn't define you. Like, you're not defined by a man in or not in your life in any way. I think that's what I would like to tell younger girls, because the beauty industry is now targeting younger girls. I have a sister, she's in like high school, first year. She uses makeup products that I would have never dreamed of using. And I'm like, why? She's like, because all the girls, like, I don't have acne, I don't have a double chin. What the heck is a double chin?
Girl.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, I'm the right person to ask, because I can just show you. Bitch. Remind me.
I know what you mean, but like, why do we have to? Yeah. She's like just 13. Like,
it's just there, man. Just like, why are we hating it?
Doing all this makeup, and it makes me so sad, because these are the next generation of women that would grow up and still not like their bodies, and still want to shave their legs, and still want to shave their hair, because we've not taught them that it's okay to accept it. One of my favorite things now is seeing women who have hair. Yeah. I love it so much. Yeah. I don't need them to announce for me what they're doing. I just want to watch them exist. It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. It became so natural and so normal to me, because I have this friend groups of people that are just bunch of I don't give a fucks. Like, they do not give a rat ass about the society or whatever it wants from them, or it's kind of like, that's what I wish to know as a young girl, that
representation exists. Yeah,
but also, like, it's not about being a girl and a boy. Like, let's just not talk about it, let's not make a thing, let's not make it a dilemma, so boys and girls are not really giving it their minds, and let's just let them just be children and be like, why do we have to specify everything? Let's just people be.
I think there is this need for labels Like, we love labels so much, and it's so irritating. Even now when I talk to people and I sound the way I sound, boys be like, I hope you're sounding like a feminist. I hope you're not a feminist. I'm sorry. I think the response they expect me to give as a Nigerian girl speaking to a Nigerian man who needs you to look at me as wife material is, oh my God, no, I could never be all those feminists. Nah. I'm not a feminist girl. Like, I just want to get married. Pick me.
Pick me. Please. Choose me. Love me.
Like, how do you expect me to say no to something that we all benefit from? I hate when girls go on and be like, I'm not a feminist.
I'm like, what do you mean, girl? You're wearing pants.
The very fact that you can open